Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Shei Osoyimbi, enjoy the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Why will anyone choose death when life was offered him? Oh. Why will anyone want to choose death when life was offered to him or her? It's a mystery of the human race. The Bible says light came into the world, but men love darkness. They love death rather than light. Because fundamentally, no one wants his sins to be exposed. You can't come to Jesus without an acknowledgement of the kind of heart you have. Men and women that keep giving excuses in life will never find mercy. They always keep excusing themselves. This is why I'm this. It's my ancestral problem. It's my grandmother that did this, my grandfather that did this, and they keep excusing their failures, never owning up to the kind of persons they are. And so they forfeit life, even though it was offered on the platter of gold. That's this morning's program of revisiting your testimony of your salvation is very, very key. If you don't know what you went through before Jesus saved you, then you probably have not actually had salvation. I want to revisit your heart, your past, your story. Can you help me with this song? This is my story. Can you take that song?
This is my song. Praising my Savior.
Jesus, I come as a sinner. Jesus, I accept the testimony of the kind of heart that I have. David said, I was crafted in iniquity and my mother gave birth to me in iniquity. As a product of iniquity, I lived a life of iniquity. No one is good, said Jesus. No one understands the meaning of good. We were all born as sinners. But the testimony of the communion was Jesus offered his life. He offered his blood as an atonement sacrifice that you and I may live. I thank you for making this clear to me. Can you thank him for your salvation? No man could come to the Father except the Father drew him. I didn't come to God because I wanted to come. I came because it was he who first loved me. It was he who stepped out of his comfort zone to save me. I didn't come. I didn't want to come. I didn't like him. I could not bear the consequences of living, giving up my life of sin. I couldn't imagine another kind of life out of Jesus, out of sin. But his mercy was stronger than my will. His love was stronger than my resistance. I remember that Sunday morning when I broke and I wept for my sin. I wept for the fact that a man loved me to die for me. I remember, this is my story. This is my song. Oh Father, I'm grateful to you. I want you to individually give him glory. Give him thanks for your salvation. Without Jesus, there is no hope. There is no hope. There is no hope. There is no hope. It is to look forward to a fearful confrontation with eternal God. A confrontation that no fallen angel is looking forward to. I thank you for delivering me from the wrath to come. I thank you for helping me to grapple with the complexities of the faith. I thank you for keeping me and keeping my heart from falling to the ditch when the enemy assaulted my soul with doubts and with all kinds of confusion. Your spirit stabilized me. I'm grateful, my Father. I'm grateful for my Father. I'm grateful, my Father. I'm grateful for the lives that you have saved, for the harvest that you have brought. What a love. I bless your name, my Father. I give you glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving me life. I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Everyone has his own personal story. You must have your own personal story. Every time I remember the day I gave my life to Jesus, text comes into my eyes. Because I didn't look for him. I didn't need him. My friends preached to me for 4 years and I didn't listen to them. But the day Jesus cornered me, oh, what a day. What a day. I thank him for that day. Every day I remember, I thank him. And I want to encourage you to always keep that day in memory. Build a memorial for that day. I don't remember the date, exact date, but I remember the whole scene. I thank him for it. Can you please open your Bibles to the book of Luke? I want to read from Luke 22. First and foremost, let me acknowledge the presence of a very wonderful daughter of mine. She's here today and I'm very, very happy that she is here with her husband, Sister Chumoke. Once again, can you rise for recognition? Hallelujah. Today is communion service and we're going to be sharing communion together. I want to take my reading from verse 14 of the book of Luke. The Bible says, and when the hour was come, he, Jesus, sat down and the 12 disciples with him. Sorry, the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Please note the specific words of Jesus. He said, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. There is no record in the Gospels that Jesus actually ate this kind of Passover with them. There was no record that he ate Passover together. They might have, but the Bible said he had long desired this. So I want to believe that the Holy Ghost probably didn't give them permission to eat the Passover because the time to eat it had not come. Hallelujah. Yes, there was a time he went to the temple during the days of the Passover and he shouted and did all those things. He did those things, but he never sat down with the 12 to eat the Passover. It was significant because he was instituting something new. Hallelujah. And I say unto you, verse 16, I will not anymore eat therefore or thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So the next time Jesus will be eating the Passover will be when all men gather at that marriage supper for him to eat it, to fulfill this prophecy. Hallelujah. I want to pray that we all will be there in the name of Jesus. It is still going to be far. Hallelujah. It's still going to be far. But one day, this scripture will be fulfilled. He said, I will no longer drink and eat this communion again until that day in the kingdom, when all things would have been fulfilled. So you need to understand that this communion is tied to something to be fulfilled. And so verse 17, and he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide among yourselves. And I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper say, this cup is a new testament in my blood which is shed for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of the New Testament goes beyond what you and I can get from the hands of God. There is something much higher in terms of objective. It is the fulfillment of his will. And Jesus said it at the beginning of his ministry. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is done where? We must be part of that generation that must bring this to pass. And I want you to understand that the communion is a commitment to that vision. Every time you take the communion, you are establishing the fact that you are committed to his vision, that you are committed to his goals, that you are committed to his bringing the kingdom and the purposes of God to pass here on earth. Hallelujah. And you recognize the methodology and the means through which he is going to do this, and you are committed to be part of that process. Every time you do not appreciate this, Paul will say that you dishonor the body of Christ. You are not recognizing the body of Christ. How did they say? He says, that's the word he used. That the way Paul, we read the scripture when Brother Nia read this morning for 1 Corinthians. He said you drink unworthily. That's what I was looking for, unworthily. Unworthy means that you're not worthy to come into this covenant of the testament, because you did not recognize what God is trying to craft. People think that at that time that it was an opportunity for them to drink wine, free wine. For them to eat food, breakfast, because it was bread, probably. They had issues in the economy. Somebody like Mimiko was running the economy then. You know, so there was a free food. And so he said, because you do not understand the significance of these things, you are unworthy of it. And that exposes you to judgment. And so as we take this communion this morning, let us understand that your commitment to what God is doing on earth brings you into a relationship that God begins automatically to take care of you. I said this yesterday during the Dallas on air. I said every commanding officer has a responsibility to take care of the welfare of his soldiers. Is that okay? But it would be stupid of the soldier to assume that the objective of the commanding officer is to just make him fat. Do you understand? The objective is not to make you fat. The objective is to prepare you for war. Are you with me? So whatever it takes to make you effective, the commanding officer is obliged to give it to you. Do you understand? So if I need a car, it's to make me effective in pursuing the program of the kingdom. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. If you cannot tie whatever it is that you are believing God for to accomplishing the kingdom, then you are acting out of lust. Do you understand me? Because every time you take this communion, it's a covenant. You are reacting, you are enacting a covenant between you and God. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So it is not that you sinned yesterday. You committed sin. I told a lie. I can't eat communion. No. It's not that. If you have sinned, repent of it and come and take the communion. Is that okay? Because once you show your commitment to God, God is going to show his commitment to you. Praise the Lord. Of course, there are benefits. There are benefits. No commanding officer sends a sick soldier to war. Abisa. They don't do that. They always make sure that the officer is fit to go to war. That is why by his stripes, ye are healed. It's not to heal you and then you go and show off outside there. No. You are to be a witness. Effective witness. Every time you witness of a saving grace, there is something you are doing against the powers of darkness. You are challenging their hold over the souls of men. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So if we are sick in our bodies, like I am sick, and my body needs healing, hallelujah. It's my body that is not well. I am okay. Praise God. I need the communion this morning. Praise God. If you are believing God for a miracle, access the covenant. These are the privileges of the covenant. And the Lord of heaven will bless us in Jesus' name. Can we bow our heads as we talk to the Lord this morning? You are coming into a covenant again. You are reenacting. Every time you are doing it, you are remembering Jesus suffered. The reason why he suffered was not just to save you. It was also to commission you to go and be a battle axe in the hands of God. I want you to pray, asking God for strength and grace, asking God for mercy, that God will help you to be effective. You recognize the reason why his blood was shed. It was to enact a new covenant, a new testament, and you are determined to walk in that testament. You are determined to walk by the spirit and the letter of that testament. You are committed, as every soldier is required to be committed, to the cause of his army, to his army commander. That you are committed. You are committed. You are committed. No more living for yourselves. No more living by yourselves. No more personal agendas. I give them up today. I give those personal agendas up. I ask for this heart. This heart that is committed. A committed heart. A committed heart. I look forward to the day I will sit with Jesus and drink this drink of the vine again and eat of this bread again. But while I am here on earth, I'm committed to his program. I'm committed to his vision. What drives me is what are the thoughts of his mind. I bind my soul to his soul. The things of love are the things I will love. Where it will go, I will go. They told that home, he said, where you go, I go. Where you sleep, I sleep. Your God will be my God. That is the essence of the communion. That is what we tell the Lord every time we share it. That this is my vow. This is my commitment. It doesn't matter what comes my way. I'm going to hold steady by your grace. Oh, Father, que le nostro brosse che imbraste. Vambrete si donsi trinista capaste. Vembrete lo shantopa hisantandre nekeshta. Vambrahilite jidonsa toba la badeje. Ele le nostri nostra teba. Vembrelisto kuza nostra tombra shida. Rete keshate e kokotuse tola brana maste. Oh, Vinimo Sunday, the Indranishikalaba. Father, I pray that this communion will help. It will minister healing to our bodies. It will minister life to our souls. I pray that, Lord, this communion will bind our hearts together with yours. Oh, to strengthen our souls and strengthen our wills to stay committed and focused on the purposes of which you paid your pride, the price of your life. That we will not work contrary to what you stood for, to what you lived for, to what you died for. I pray, my Father, that Lord of Heaven, that grace will accompany this communion today. That there will be a change of heart. There will be a change of purpose. That from this day we'll begin to commit ourselves to the purpose of the kingdom. That until we see thy kingdom come, we shall give our eyes no rest. We shall give our hearts no rest. I pray, Father, that Lord of Heaven, that this communion will bind our hearts, not only together with yours, but also together with one another. That there will be a genuine communion in the hearts. That there will be open portals in the Spirit over this place and over every individual life. That the Holy Spirit will begin to interface with our spirits and begin to lead us in the path of righteousness, even for your name's sake. I pray, Father, that whoever the enemy may have put in one trouble or the other, I pray that you set them free by this communion. Oh Father, let there be activities of the Spirit that will liberate everyone from every danger in the name of Jesus. Everyone that is bound by superstition, the spirit of superstition, I break that power over your soul in the name of Jesus. Whosoever the Son of God has made free is free indeed. You are free from every superstition, every fear that has captivated your soul. I command, loose your hold in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this communion, and I bless it in the name of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, because we pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
It's grace.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pdtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Dialysis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Futa South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pdtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you.
It's your grace.